Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the program. Woo! Are you welcome? Are you ready for a wonderful Wow Wisdom Wednesday? I hope so. Always great to be with everybody here. So I want to say hi to everybody in the chat, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. And got the chat open just a little bit later, so people are starting to get in and see we've got callers on the phone line. I want to welcome you all, and callers, if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your keypad to get on air. And also want to give a little hello and etheric hug to all of you listening later by iTunes, FM Player, and the other podcast outlets. And as always, for everything Awakenings, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And that's questions, comments, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, email questions that you want answered on air. And it's the best way to do it. Better to do it that way than through Messenger or my Instagram, because we have people handling those channels. So it'll more likely get done. And then if you want to do personal work with me, some people have asked, that's info@soulplayground.com, and you can go to Soul Playground and sign up for the blog and the monthly psychic happenings, the energetic happenings that I tune into. I've been writing quite a bit and really focused on that, to getting some really good information out to everybody. And in fact, I want to let everyone know that we have a meditation and doing some group inner work and clearing for the energies of the eclipses, and also working with the retrograde energies. More than, Tamara, I love you. She's on it in the chat. Tamara's on it in the chat. She put the link in. Yeah, if you go to Eventbrite, it's the energetic alchemy of the solar eclipses. And of course, you know, I'm trained in astrology. I think I studied, I don't know, late 80s was one of my first courses. But I do look at things more, like, you know, bringing the psychic and the channeled ability and working with the oversouls and the spiritual hierarchy. So it's always a blend. And I don't, and you know, I've got another solar astrology teleworkshop on the 26th. And you don't have to be an astrologer. What I like to do with everything is I kind of get into the algorithm of things. I like to break it down so that people can have the information, the insights, and the what to do. What do you do? What do you do with this energy? That's all you really need to know. You don't need to know aspects and this and that and that and this. You just need to know, hey, how's it affecting your life, and what are the tools, what, you know, what to get through it. So we'd like to keep it practical, the practical woo-woo here. So if you'd like information on that, just email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or info@soulplayground.com. Now, I have a lot of email questions and really good questions, and some people like Archer have emailed in whole show ideas with amazing questions, and I want to dive into that. Some of them I'm going to devote a whole show to, but because of what's been going on, I've been getting email, text, clients calling me, clients in session, asking me about, can you please speak about what is going on in the world, and specifically with our political system and the people. You know, everybody knows what happened in, you know, Charlotte, that horrible, tragic, you know, untimely death. And and the rise of not only the awareness, but the acting out of groups that are based on fear. Hate, but hate always ends up being about fear, you know, on some level. So I really want to talk to that right now. We're also going to get to phone lines, get to your personal questions or collective questions, whatever it is. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. And, you know, I had an interesting conversation with an amazing friend of mine and colleague, a great astrologer. In fact, we did a show. She's been on the show a couple times, and we did a segment to see who was going to get win the election between Obama and McCain. And I had predicted Obama. And I also said, don't expect miracles or amazing things. Because everybody was wanting to put like, okay, Obama, everything's going to change. We're going to be kumbaya, you know, ring around the rosies. And I said, au contraire, why not? Because we don't yet have the consciousness, the predominating consciousness to draw in mainstream leaders, for lack of a better word, Pied Pipers, whatever, or people in high positions yet until enough of us heal, okay? And we shift. That's why I do the repatterning work. That's why I love the work that I do. That's why just about every teleworkshop I do, which I suggest, I keep them very modestly priced so everybody can do them. Come on and do it. Shift your vibrational frequency. Come on. Because the world is not going to change until we change, and it's not going to change by the outer or by, I hate to say it, marching and those kind of things. Those help. That's part of it. And I know I'm controversial when I say this, but consciousness is an inside job. And when we're clearing, you know, my clients will say, God, I'm still working on this, or I had a shift. Why was this so hard? And what I will say is we're not just shifting your personal pattern, your personal wounding, it's the collective. That's what the whole paradigm shift is about. It's not you and your little world. It's a paradigm shift. That means the very basis of what our world is founded on, the foundation of our world. That has to change, but what created what we have is consciousness, is the level of consciousness, the level of awareness, the game that was being played out. So when you're playing out a game that was about separating out but got misconstrued to be separation, then there's a lot of fear. There's us and them, and there's a love and a hate. I, by the way, metaphysically, in advanced metaphysics, there is no opposite to love. The opposite to love is not fear. Love is not particularly an emotion. It encompasses emotion. It's more of a state of being, just like joy. And fear is a natural human emotion. So it really bothers me when people say, oh, are you going to act from love or fear? Fear is the opposite of love. No, love has no opposite. There's a totality there, because you can still love somebody but realize they're not perhaps the right person for you, right? Or you can love a painting or a picture. There's an evoking there, sometimes emotional. There's an interconnectedness. Metaphysically, love is looked at as a binding influence. And it could look at choosing, whether it's in nature, that is what's most life-enhancing. So that's it in kind of a very objective, kind of non-romantic point of view. As humans, we put this other stuff on it. And believe me, I like my romantic love too, you know. But yeah, get out of the habit of saying love, it's fear, love, or coming from fear, love, because you're just going down a rabbit hole with that one. That doesn't even make sense. You know, I say metaphysics, especially when you get into more esoteric or advanced, there's a common sense to it. And so fear is a human emotion, and it's hardwired into the brain, into the reptilian brain, and it's also accessed through the limbic region, which is the emotional. So I want to say for every metaphysician out there, or all of you new, trying to be new age or whatever, just read some basic psychology, you know, and anatomy and physiology. Because we've really got to stop getting into these loops that are keeping us in these little platitudes that keep us stuck, right? And, but not really one radiance. Fear is not a contracted love. Fear is a necessary component that actually has a biochemical and a physiological function within the brain. And also, when you feel fear, it means wait. It can mean don't do something. Fear can actually be a form of love from your higher self telling you not to go somewhere. I remember years ago when I was modeling in Chicago, and I went to visit a friend, and I was coming back probably 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I was in an area that was up and coming, and there was a lot of lofts there, artist lofts. And so there was not a lot of cabs, so I couldn't catch a cab, and I had to walk. And there was a guy that was following me. I would cross the street because I had my headphones on, my music, as I normally did, but I was always very aware. And I noticed that when I crossed the street, he crossed the street. And I noticed that he was, you know, coming. And I felt fear. But guess what? That's not a lot. That's not, that was good. That was Michelle. There's something to be fearful of, because a guy late at night doesn't keep crossing the street when you cross. I even stopped and I looked in a window. He stopped and he looked at me. So my fear told me, time for survival mode. And you guys want to know what I did? I studied self-defense. The first defense is people that want to do harm don't want somebody that's going to be difficult. I stopped across the side of the street and I yelled at him, F you, but the whole word, don't even think about it. I just broke up with my boyfriend and I'm in a really bad mood. But I yelled it really loudly. I mean, even more. And he looked at me and he turned the other way. So that's the first part of self-defense that you're taught, is don't make it easy. And, you know, and it was a dark, you know, there were no cabs. There were no cabs. There were no buses. Those of you that have ever been in an artist district in New York, and, you know, I did my modeling. I had a lot of, I can go on with a lot of experience where fear actually helped me. It alerted me to danger, whether I was in some weird area from traveling in Europe, you know, by myself, the first time modeling, the third time I lived there for 3 years. You know, went back to school and stuff. So you got to get out of those little platitudes. Those are not going to serve you. It's like, that's the human part of you. That's the kicking in, warning. And then the higher self comes through, you know, you kind of calm and go, what do I do? You know? So, yeah, funny little story there. And it was funny, I was telling that story to somebody, I don't know how we got on it, to two Vietnam vets, in my chiropractor office about a couple, I think maybe even last week. So it's funny I'm mentioning it again. And they were laughing. These big, gruff men, you know, that had been in the war. And the one guy says, he didn't want you. You were going to be a problem. Too difficult. He didn't want you. And I said, yeah, that's the first line of defense. Scream and yell and act more crazy than they are. And, you know, that's not being a victim. So anyway, hey, Queen, everyone in the chat, good to see you all. So I really suggest all of you listen to my show, and I'm going to go more in depth right now, touch on it. My show last week, I had the whole program. Boy, we were on fire, weren't we? We were on fire. In fuego last week. We're on fire this week too. I can feel it. I can feel the fire. So I talked about the Leo Aquarius access, and I'm going to go more into this on my teleworkshop on the 26th. I'm also going to show people how to connect more to their soul and their soul purpose and cut through a bunch of human unhandled stuff by looking at your chart differently. And it's simply a certain way of looking at the outer planet. So get more transpersonal, because that's what connects you to the soul. So anyway, that's a whole other topic, but that will be on the 26th. And then the 19th, this Saturday, if you're interested. We'll be doing some inner work, some clearing, some meditation. We'll be talking about how you can use the energies of the eclipses, the lunar and the solar. We're still getting influence of the lunar, and as well as the retrograde. I mean, I know there's retrograde planets. There's a lot going on. But eclipses, especially total eclipses, the last one I believe was in 2009, which is also when we ushered in right living and right livelihood. So it's very pivotal that there's a lot up about relationship and livelihood, which is how we live, right? So last week I dived into the Leo Aquarius axis. That's what's really being highlighted, but so is, it's not just an axis, it's actual a cross, an equilateral cross. So it's also encompassing Taurus and Scorpio, which we had a major alignment, I believe, in 95, 97, 98, something around there. There was a huge Scorpio-Taurus alignment about grounding new energy. Now, what's happening with highlighting the Leo Aquarius axis, that it's all about self-expression. Hopefully, it's about the soul, but not if you haven't done enough inner work. Okay, so let's break it down. What does that mean? I talked about the cult of personality. I talked about the glamour realm. That's what's highlighted right now. Everybody, a lot of astrologers have been singing kumbaya, more truth, more self-expression. Yeah, sort of. That's why I like to give people what's really, the keep it real, what's really happening and what do we do individually and what are you going to be seeing and experiencing collectively. We're also in the valley of the shadow. We still are getting the shadow material out of self-expression. Most people are expressing from the ego only level, or the not even the healthy ego, the wounded ego, wounded inner child complex. So what we're going to be seeing is, yes, Tamara, you feel we have to have a hard conversation. Yes, but more important than conversations, everyone has to look at themselves to see what is your truth, and how are you expressing? So what you're going to be seeing, and this is what you saw, and you're going to see more of it, it's actually going to get worse before it gets better. That's why I do these hella workshops to kind of help people prepare and navigate, is that what's coming undone is all the astral material. The astral plane corresponds to the emotional. So we are going to be the major, let me just put it, the major healing will come as Pluto is midway between when it moves into Aquarius and then into Pisces, okay? We're still uncovering the systemic woundedness. I don't even like to say toxicity, because even though it's heinous and horrible crimes, it's coming from deep wounding and playing out a game of us against them and you know, hate and power over. So you're going to see a lot more power struggles, power over, power under. That's why I've been talking about that. Those of you that get my soul insights and my, you know, monthly happenings, psychic energetic happenings, I've been talking about this. And then in the teleworkshops, look where you're having power struggles within yourself and within in others, or you feel the victim martyr. So there, if there's heroes, there's going to be people that need to be saved, right? The self-sacrifice, the martyrs, that's going to be at a fever pitch. That's, if you listen, after I share with you today, if you take the time to go listen to the show, last week's show, and please share it with your friends and family or anybody you feel is of resonance or needs to hear this, because I really talk about what we need to do and what's going to be happening, because I don't want people to be shocked. I have so many people contacting me saying, oh, what's happening? Why is this happening? I thought it was getting better. No, what's being uncovered is the truth. See, it's not just about speaking your truth or conversations. It's about the truth of how people really believe and feel has to come up to the surface to be able to heal it. We can't heal what we're not aware of. See, a lot of us aren't aware of this because we don't experience this either at all or to a very lesser degree. And we're around more conscious people, or we're not attracting as much in that game because of our vibrational frequency. So when we're talking about healing or being light workers or healers, or, you know, it's about not just us, it's about individually healing so that the mainstream is healing. It's with the eye on the mainstream, because that's where the systems get put into form. So what you are going to see is a ratcheting up of self-expression. So what does that mean? People that are expressing hate, vitriol, so that is going to come up first. They're not at a soul level. Most of them aren't even connected to their soul. Most of them, there is no soul alignment yet. They're soulless. That's why you don't see them making choices that are coming from integrity. They're selling their soul for money or status. Think about it. That's the old game. That's the old paradigm. We're taught that. Women are taught that to a lesser level. Marry somebody well, you know, you don't want to have to, oh, they have to do this, they have to do that, you know. I'm not saying don't marry someone that's wealthy. It's what's propagated, you know, an arranged marriage so to somebody, you know, wealthy, or go for the materialism. I like nice things, have nothing against it. But when we seek that that's our value, that's why people are fighting, because they're saying there's not enough of the pie, or these other people out there are taking my parts of the pie and they're different from me. You know, they're less than. So the whole thing is going to ratchet up from slavery here, slavery around the world. The ugliness is going to be coming up, because that is the self-expression. That's the wounded ego, the wounding of the ego. You know, it's really the wounded inner child complex. When you listen to those people, it is like, if you've ever taught school or you had kids, you know, and I taught school, until they understand, you know, sometimes, you know, the narcissism is, you know, you need some healthy narcissism, but there can be a lot of it. Like, give me that toy. You don't give it to me. Boom, I hit you over the head. Give it to me now. So, unless they've had good parenting, but even with good parenting, every kid can pinch somebody because they don't get their way or whatever, you know. So a lot of these people in these power positions, they're not empowered. They're not in an empower. They're in a position where they could empower themselves and others, but they're stuck in the archetype of the overpower, underpowered. Again, the victim, the hero complex. And so that is ratcheting up and getting played out. And that is the cult of personality. It's not the personality of the soul. It's not the soul coming through seamlessly. It's the lower level or lower vibration of the personality that is kind of like cut off from itself, its true source. So there's a lot of fear that's coming up. So anyway, I wanted to address that because people have been asking me what the heck is going on. And that's what I, you know, said in my, you know, psychic insights and energetic happenings. This is where we are. And so there's going to be more of it with this Leo Aquarius axis, and these eclipses are bringing it out more. A lot of anger, you know, a lot of frustration individually in relationships and collectively. Now, those of us that have done more healing, you know, we'll still have some, obviously some, you know, unhandled stuff, emotional stuff that'll be coming up. But our direction, our voice, our nudging will be toward what brings you more life enhancement? What brings you more fulfillment? What brings you more love? Where do you want to give more? Where do you want to express yourself and your gifts more in a fun way, a lighthearted way, in a way that brings more light? But let me tell you, the majority of the people are not in that place yet. So that's why, just, you know, awareness and knowing that when you see this happening, oh, there's actually a healing taking place. It's ratcheting up. So it is going to be a kind of a little scary time, because it's like little kids with tomahawks. Isn't that a gun or machine, bazookas? I don't know, whatever kind of gun, a big rocket ranchers, launchers, whatever. It's like little kids with that, you know, or picture a little kid, a 5 or 6 year old, or even 11 or 12 year old, 13 year old, with a fireman's water hose. They are in positions they don't have the strength to handle, the emotional, mental strength. And I say strength is not just strong brute strength. It's emotional integrity. It's compassion and empathy. That's true strength, empathy, to be able to do what's right for everyone, to be able to say that, oh, I'm wrong, or I was on a wrong track, or to be able to say, what's this, what people are saying right now, speak truth to power. Those people don't really have power. They're in power positions, but they don't really have power. This is what all of us need to remember, is spiritual power or empowerment is always stronger. It's a higher vibrational frequency. Why did I not get attacked on that street? Because I was aligned. My fear told me, whoop, 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 human being, warning, warning, warning. But then as I breathed, my higher self kicked in, do this, do that. Anybody that's ever been in a life-threatening situation, they will tell you something else comes in, something supernatural, something other, which I always say is the higher self. And I've been in a couple situations where I almost died and got out of it. And it was clearly something, you know, grace of God, higher self, spirit, moving me to what to do and what to say, how to get out of, and that'll be in my book, by the way. Some cool stories. So we have to remember, and the love is not a kumbaya love, everything's fine, let's just get together. It's a love to dissolve the inner wall that's so difficult to do. Let yourself go through the anger, the hate, the fear, go through all of that. It's a love that goes, woof, that serial killer is so wounded. That's how come we have that on the planet right now, expressing that wounding. Ooh, that Nazi or neo-Nazi or white nationalist supremacist, whatever they call themselves. Woo, wow. Okay, I see the wounded little boy in there. I see that. Because until we can see their woundedness and their humanity, we energetically set up a wall etherically, and that's why we are where we are. That's why there's the us against them. Should you hang out with them? No. But I have seen stories and TV shows, you know, interviews, where there has, and I can't think of their name of this one guy, but he was a terrorist, I don't want to say Islam, but, you know, from that kind of terrorist, whatever you call it, the ones that did 9/11 and all that, and he reformed. And I've watched interviews of people like that have reformed. I've also watched interviews of white supremacist people that have reformed. So, you know, whatever the group. So it's the cult of personality. So it is what it is. It's groups of people that come together with a certain type of personality and say our way is the best way. The best thing that anybody also can do is love your groups and be involved in your groups, but be a weaver. Don't be over-identified or labeled by a certain group. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they've asked, and I said, I'm not anything. I'm not a label. I'm a being, a spiritual being. You know, I got a soul. I'm just nothing. I'm whatever. I'm just showing up as a human. I'm just here. We really got to get out of the labels, because those identifications also propagate the us against them. So when we can dissolve, anyone that saw that movie Dead Man Walking, and that nun held that space, and that was a true story. She saw the woundedness in the human. She was firm. And didn't let this guy BS her. I don't know that I could have done that in that case, but the beautiful story really held the space. So we need to move into that. We may not live there. That's not an easy place to be, but we need to be able to go into that space and see what's going on. You know, I would even look in the eyes and say, wow, you're really... That's wounding. That's wounding talking. You know, the more guns, the more violence. That's wounding. That's not empowerment. That's not power. But even if we can't speak it to them, people that are going through this and acting this out, because it's part of our framework. Nothing on the universe is here that doesn't have a vibrational components of vibrational frequencies or component to it. It wouldn't be here. It'd be extinct. So we got to look for the areas within ourselves. And then, again, I'm not saying live in that space all the time, because I certainly can't. But when I get enraged and upset or cry, I go, wow, just see the woundedness. You can be in everything else around it, and rightly so, the human emotions of anger or fear, because it's fearful, especially if you're a person of color or Jewish or, you know, or doesn't matter if you're a white person and you're helping the cause, look what happened. But it's, if you can every now and then tap in and become aware of the truth of the woundedness. It's like picture somebody new, you know, that thing, or picture somebody on the toilet. We're all on the toilet. We all get sick and sometimes and vomit. You know what I'm saying? If you can see that even from afar while you're watching the news or you're listening to the situation, if you can see the truth, see, this is what's advanced metaphysics. Again, truth isn't just about speaking stuff. It's about seeing the truth. So when I listen to these stories or I see it on TV or someone tells me something, when I hear it and I see the truth of the situation, that bully has been bullied, that bully, that meanie, that murderer is wounded, so wounded, broken on a human level. Not in the all that is, but that's the acting out. That's the vibrational frequency they came in. That's the piece they're holding. And Tamara said, yes, awareness without shaming. Yeah. Sometimes you got to use shame as a tool. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just the more we can tap into that Monopoly thing, I find it synchronistic that this Charlottesville thing happened on George Soros. Oh, interesting. Birthday. Yeah. Well, it is also happening at this time, this powerful time of these eclipses, which again is harkening back to 2009, right relationship. Well, right relationship starts with ourselves. If we don't love and accept ourselves, we're not going to do it with others. If we have all this self-hate and loathing for survival, human nature projects it onto other people and acts it out, right? Let's see. Some of these events are done by people playing both sides. Yeah, well, see, it's because it's polarity playing, though. It's dual. So it's both. It's each person is playing their part. And that's why I try to work more on myself than get involved in these things too much, you know, because it's a polarity playing. So you go in one direction, the other happens, although that all needs to happen. And other people are doing that. You have to find out where your true calling is to be of help. And however that is, to do that. But one thing that can happen is just remember, we're all interconnected. We're also connected to those that we're speaking about on the inner plane. So what we think on the inner plane, you know, really does help. And there's a lot of studies that have been done, the power of intention, the power of prayer, the power of healing energy. Honestly, that's more of what is needed. Also the speaking out, yeah, because there has to be awareness. I mean, what you're seeing right now with the Pluto and Capricorn is you're seeing, and also, you know, with the Uranus and Aries, the rising of the individual, but also the looking and seeing what structures are working and what aren't working, what need to dissolve, but also how our structures can help us, whether they're individual structures and routines in your life, familial structures, community structures, because structures just simply organize energy. So we're seeing how our structures do help us, and there will be a gratitude. You know, I'm witnessing this, you know, I didn't even like politics studying it, you know, or civics or whatever it was, you know, even sociology in school. But now I'm looking at it and going, wow, this is helpful. It's helpful to have some structures and some routines, some checks and balances. That is a part of freedom. Freedom is, you know, a lot of people think freedom is not having any rules, not having any structure. But actually, you have freedom within the structure. The structure actually allows you to have more freedom. You know, it's like a canvas. If you're a painter, you have to paint on something. Even if it's a mural, you're still painting on something. Even if it's chalk drawing or painting, it's on a form. So structure is form. So I hope I give some insight. I think, you know, and I'll devote more time to it. I want to get to callers in upcoming shows. But I think if you listen to last week's program and what I've shared this week, and then with your own intuiting and journaling and understanding, I think you'll come up with some realistic expectations of where we're at and what's coming up with these eclipses and the energy that it's drawing in. And that turning point that I told you is happening October, starting in October to the end of the year, I think you'll see some realistic things for yourself individually, but also collectively what's going on. And then you'll come from more understanding and certainty and less, you know, fear. But it is fearful what's happening. It's natural to have fear. You know, when you have a gun pointed at you, probably going to be some fear, you know, and that's natural. But understand what's going on, you know, the tooth is being pulled, it's being yanked, and the roots are deep. You know, we're like in a cosmic collective root canal. Yeah. Monopoly is putting, I'm not scared of this. Good, good. Well, some people are, and I don't want to take that away. There is, you know, I remember years ago with my family in Mexico, and we went to go see La Bufadora. It's a kind of a geyser. And I went in the wrong door. I was looking for a little baño, right, the bathroom. And I opened this door, and there was these federales in there with all this money piled high. I don't know what that was about. But when I opened the door, I was just a kid. They drew their big guns. I don't know, big rifle guns. I don't know. They're not rifles, but they're bigger than rifles, and pointed them at me. And my eyes got, I was fearful. I got afraid. I went, whoa, you know, lo siento. I'm sorry, you know, cerrado la puerta, shutting the door. ¿Dónde va? On I go. So be where you're at, but move through it. Use your tools more. That's what I would say. All righty, let us get to colors. Hey, 650-815, you're on the air.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. To whom am I speaking with?
This is Melinda.
Hi, Melinda. What's your question?
I do. I am looking forward to moving and purchasing a new home. I am not in any time pressure, so that's a good thing. And I'd like to stay in the area where I am. And I was just wondering what you saw regarding this. Any information about like when it might happen and information about the home would be great too.
And you're wanting to move, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, I would say look for things October on, because of you're falling into that energy. October, between October and the end of the year, but for a lot of people, it will be very pronounced in October, almost like boom, whatever you've been needing and wanting, there it is. Major decisions. I see a lot of people, and these are life decisions. We're always in transition, but this is where you're going to see people picking up and leaving and moving. You know, buying a new place, moving out of state, moving to another country, moving to another, you know, another way of living, you know, relationships breaking up, done and over, or people, woo, getting together, you know, married or divorced, you know, in, out, big career changes. So I do see that there is the move, and it is showing that you will know more in October. Is there also a house that you've been looking at, or a house for sale? Are you putting something on the market?
Not yet. I'm waiting to do that.
But you're going to.
I'm going to, yes.
Oh, okay. Because that does show you talking to somebody about putting a house on the market. So
okay.
That's probably going to be, I would say, the next, you might even just do that. But it seems to come right around the same time. That might be first, talking to somebody about doing that more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows sale of property, and it does show a move. So it's definitely going to be happening. I would say probably somewhere between October and the end of the year.
I see.
Coming. All right, Melinda. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to try to weave through these because we have our guest coming on. 213-247, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. This is Michelle. Rochelle
or Michelle?
I'm calling
again.
Michelle.
What's your first name?
We've got
Michelle.
We've got the same name.
Ah, love it. Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening to you through the iTunes, so this is my first time being able to catch you live.
Very cool. And I
love the podcast. I've subscribed. I've left a good message. I've given you great reviews.
Oh,
so I've been listening. I've been following.
Thank you. I gotta go check it then. I haven't checked. I love reading my little appreciation reviews. It puts a little smile on my face.
Mine is up there. I just put one up like a week ago, so you'll find it.
I appreciate that.
I feel like my question might already have been answered just listening to you, and the last few podcasts you've done have been really amazing. I'm in this like transitionary moment in life, and excuse me. And I was calling initially to see if you saw something around a project that I've been working on. I just feel like there's been delays, and I kind of feel like now is not the right time. But at the same time, I'm like really anxious to like do it.
Well,
so
but I don't feel you haven't.
Weird.
It seems it's inconsistent, or you're not completely working on it, right? So you're not. It's got
right.
a way
so
to go.
I started, but there's it stopped, and so now I have to pick it back up. There's just been a few like delays with it.
Okay. I would say for you as well as everyone else, expect the energy to really change in October. I mean, we're going to know a lot more collectively and on the political level of where things are going. And sometimes, think of in the times of, you know, war, like the salons in, I'm thinking like, what was it, the 30s. People met in salons, you know, they had their tea, their coffee, or their wine, and their philosophical conversation, a lot of art. And that's what the soul wants us to do, is really out-create all this. So I feel for you, you are falling into that October turning point where there'll be more energy and more focus for what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it with you has been energy, time, energy, and focus. So it's really an energetic thing as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it says you're going to need some, yeah, getting more, it may be more Sag time even. So it could be, it could go into like December, end of November, December. And then I would say probably more fully into it next year. All right, Michelle?
Yeah.
Keep us posted. Love to hear how it's unfolding for you. Okay, good.
Thanks.
All right, much peace. You're welcome. Hi, 702-375, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. This is Dakota.
Hi, Dakota. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I love your show. Last week was so great. I resonated with it so much. I've been in kind of the period of self-expression, but I was kind of going towards that more materialistic, and I want to buy makeup, and I want to buy new clothes, and I want to play the guitar, and I kind of took a step back after I heard your show last week, and I said, okay, you know, I need to channel this energy into something else. And then I prayed power, and it kind of came real quick.
Ooh,
and real fast.
Whoa, love it.
And so, it was so funny last week, actually. I got put on the phone, and it said unmuted, and I'm thinking, and you go, hello, and I'm thinking, oh, that person, they missed their chance. That's so sad. I was so into the show last week, and it was me. But then I stepped back, and I go, that was a reason. Because the question I was going to ask you, everything came up and everything came to the surface, and it came so fast and so strong. And even truths about, like, you know, things I've been lying about were coming up, but it was so freeing for my soul and everything. So
yeah.
I just really resonated with that. I wanted to put my focus into something else. I'm young. I'm 20 years old. College starts in 2 weeks. My question now is, am I on the right track? Is there anything that you pick up insights for me, and maybe it's another direction or anything I need to go into?
No, you're on track. The one thing that I'm getting for you is seeing yourself as resourceful, and that's what you're going to not fall into a pitfall that a lot of people do. Again, it's great to buy clothes, have nice things,
But your thing right now really is connecting in yourself as your own resource, your own, and that meaning your self-expression. So the guitar, writing, really getting into your self-expression and seeing you as this expressor. You're this creator being. Because we are moving out of, like I said, that you know, out of consumerism, over-consumerism into creativism.
Right.
So you're right. Now, see, I love hearing this. See, so you're bringing that energy in already. You see, as you're doing that, the people around you at your age level will be pick that up as well. So, again, you're not going to have to go through, you know, 20 years of, oh, my God, I bought all this stuff and I realize it's not about stuff. I got too much stuff. It's about relationship. It's about creativity. Yeah. You don't have to go through that learning lesson. You already got it. So you need to just revel in it and focus on your values, principles, and beliefs. That will guide you.
Yes.
What do you value?
Yes,
what do you feel is fulfilling? Focus on that. That is what's going to help you.
Okay, yeah, because a lot in high school I played sports and this, and then I grew up real quick, and I stopped doing all that, and so I kind of, not a depression, but just kind of felt really lost, and so I feel like that's all coming back to me, my creativity and self-expression, and not just kind of like, oh, well, what am I going to do with my life now, you know? So I appreciate that.
Right.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
You're so welcome, and just to let you know, too, sometimes we get pulled out of something to try something new, you know, or we're in the middle. I call it marinating. We're kind of marinating.
Yeah.
So what we normally do, we may not be, you know, we may not be doing. There might be a time period where we're not doing that. But that doesn't mean it won't come back in a different way.
Right, and I think that's where I'm at right now, and especially with Mercury and retrograde, is okay, Dakota, it's okay, sit right now. Think, and I can't feel it so strongly. Things are about to happen, but, you know, focus right now. You know, make your intentions pure so that you can be on the right path and not be distracted. So,
yeah.
That was awesome.
And here's the thing. Remember, retrograde, Mercury retrograde, it's not just actions or the computer or miscommunication. It's not just communication. It's how we think. So we're in an evaluation mode. Purity is truth, if you look at the derivation of the word. So it's about getting to the truth of what we really like and really want. Perfect.
Yeah, and that's the big thing.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Go ahead. Yeah, keep listening, and I love what you've shared, and keep, you know, let us keep in contact. Let us know how you're doing.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, 213-457, you're on air.
Yes, hi. It's great to hear people so energetic and full of emotion. Thank you for taking my call. I have an issue. My name is Frank. I have an issue where I am trying to I'm starting a new venture in life, and it has to do with animals. And I wanted to know if you see anything in my future.
And has to
Hello?
Do with animals? Yeah, I'm hearing you.
It has to do with animals. Okay, yes.
Okay, I'm going to answer that off here. Let's see. Frank and animals. Well, it's going to take a little time, a little more time. I feel like you're probably at the beginning stages of it, but that it will come about for you. So it's just... Yeah, you said new. I feel it's very, very new. There's also something else coming in for you, and that'll be more, I would say, May, June of next year also. So I feel multiple projects to you, at least two, probably three. Yeah, so I don't see just one thing that you're working on. Okay, it's that time for our Awakenings guests. We have with us Nancy Dannison and JD. She's a writer and a retired healthcare lawyer and former litigator from a wonderful, prestigious attorney law firm. She's also a licensed private pilot and former licensed private investigator. Now, Nancy left the security of her big-time law firm and started a successful solo practice in health law and wrote her first book, backwards, returning to our source for answers. This book offers and provides vivid descriptions of the author's death and her entry into the light, the receipt of knowings and answering that answered her questions, as well as meeting beloved light being friends and having a life review, as well as recalling hundreds of previous lives. Answers from the Afterlife reveals that everything we know about life and death is wrong. Woo, let's see that. I've had a couple NDEs. Hey, Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We are doing wonderful and happily awaiting connecting with you. So after your near-death experience, would you consider that your first awakening, or were you aware of the spiritual realm, that aspect of you and life, or did this kind of just boom happen with your experience?
I was what I would call a seeker. I read a lot of books, and I was very much interested in spirituality. But I was a Roman Catholic. I had, 12 years of Catholic education and 6 more years of Methodist college. And what I learned in the afterlife was what I would call a rude awakening, because I learned that everything I had been taught by my religion was wrong.
Tell me about, because I would agree too, the religions kind of paint a different picture. But tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, what happened, to bring about the death experience and what you experienced and how you came to that, like, oh, what they told me is wrong.
I was in a cancer hospital for surgical removal of 3 lesions in my right breast, and because they hadn't formed lumps. Not all cancers form lumps, ladies, so get your mammograms. Because there were no lumps for the surgeon to feel, to know where to cut, a radiologist had to do what's called a needle localization procedure, where using a mammogram machine for guidance, she inserted a large bore needle with a wire inside of it into the center of the 3 lesions inside my breast. And then when she was finished, she would pull the needle out and leave the wire in place. Well, she had to do it twice, and the only medication, for lack of a better word, I had was the local anesthetic that she injected into my skin. And I don't know if she did that once or twice, but I was allergic to it. So I had an anaphylactic reaction. And shortly after the radiologist and the technician left to get the last set of mammogram films developed, I left too. I left my body and went into the light and had the most extensive near-death experience ever recorded. And the way I found out that everything that I had been taught before was wrong was after I had a life review, I figured out that all the information that had been downloading into my brain, I call it knowings, I didn't have to be random. I could control what I learned by just focusing my attention and intention to answering specific questions. So I asked, who am I? Who is God? What's the purpose of life? Why am I on earth? Where's heaven? Where's hell? And what's the one true religion? And I asked that last question because Catholics always think they've got the one true religion. And the answers that I got in response to those questions were the complete opposite of religious theory that predominates in our world today. For example, our religions teach us that we are separate from our Creator, that we are separate from God, and that we must worship God and obey His rules in order to earn our way to heaven. And what I learned is that we are not separate from God, and I don't use that term anymore. I use Source, because the entity that I experienced intimately was an energy source.
Yeah.
And so I learned that we are literally characters or personalities within Source's mind.
Yeah.
And that we are its way of being in the physical world, looking out through the eyes of all of its creatures and all of the other things and plants and everything else that's in the physical world. The same way that when we're dreaming, we create a dream character that's us, and we can look out through that dream character's eyes and watch the dream. It's the same phenomenon.
Resonate with this, and it's been my experience as well. I love that. Yeah, it's all, you know, there was that saying that all that we are is God seeking itself, knowing itself, or source energy seeking itself, knowing itself through these forms playing out or acting out, you know, answering the question, vibrationally the question, and also the answer. How, when you came back, what did you notice anything? Did you feel differently? Did you notice changes in your life or how you looked at life?
Oh, everything was different. For about the first, 6 or 7 months, I tried to convince my doctors that I'd had this experience, and they told me I hallucinated. So I tried to forget it. But then I saw the movie Saved by the Light, which is the Danielle Brinkley near-death experience story. And when I watched that, I said, that's it. That's what happened to me. I knew I didn't imagine it. And I started writing at that point in time, writing down everything that happened to me. And so for about 2 years after I died, I just wanted to go home. You know, I wanted to go home to our homey home, the place where we're loved unconditionally and accepted completely, and we have our loved ones around us, and we're in bliss. And it took me about 7 years altogether to integrate, you know, what had happened to me, and to accept it and to figure out how to deal with it. And I eventually ended up leaving my big law firm, and I went out on my own to try to figure things out on my own. I could have used your help back then, Michelle.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm telling you, unless people have experienced it, it is the most amazing place and experience to be. It's cozy, warm, but not warm, but cool, but connected. I've never in my life since then experienced. There's been things that have come towards it, but never, not even 50% that experience, you know, or feeling beyond feeling, and to articulate that. So I could see why you kind of want to go back. Did you feel, a lot of people say, Nancy, that they feel a bit, especially the one that you had was for so long and so extensive, and you received quite a bit of information and insight, which, by the way, I love what you said about the intention and attention, so pertinent. But a lot of people say they come back lost, or maybe unfocused, or don't know what they want or what they should do. Does that kind of ring a bell at all? Did you have that experience?
I think I felt that way because, you know, I was trying to integrate, you know, what I learned in the afterlife with everything else I'd known about life up until that point in time. But I came back with a purpose. I took on the mission right at the end of my experience, where I was merging into Source, and I awakened to the knowledge that I am in fact Source, and just, you know, pretending to be Nancy here on Earth. And I kept saying to myself, you know, when I got those answers to my questions and I found out the answers were completely different, I kept saying to myself, well, somebody ought to go down there and tell those people. I didn't necessarily mean me. rolling back in a whirlwind back into my body. So I figured out that, you know, I had been assigned this mission to come back here and tell people what I'd learned in the afterlife, and also to experience unconditional love. And I didn't know what that meant for a long time after I was back in the body. I mean, I knew what unconditional love was. I didn't know how I was supposed to experience it. And I learned... Okay. I learned from a friend that the easiest way to experience unconditional love is to give it.
Oh.
I know. That's exactly the reaction I had when she said that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
One of the things that I love that you say, yeah, part of I love it because I have been saying this too, and believe me, we're like a little quiet voice. A couple things that you and a lot of people don't realize, and I love, and I really wish if you could talk more about this. But the fact that we're not here to evolve or learn or learning lessons, and that we're already, I always call it, you know, perfected form, or, you know, perfect in our imperfection. We are perfected form, and that as souls, you know, we can't get more evolved. It's there on a soul level. I mean, that's, can you speak to that, what you were told or what you learned to understand about that a bit, and share that with our listeners?
Well, you described it so perfectly yourself. I'm not sure I could do better.
But oh, you can. You can go more into it. Yeah, what you heard and what you, yeah. Because I'm so glad. You put this in the book, right? Because I wish
Yes. Most
people, oh, good. Because people are in this loop of karma, and I was bad, and that's why I'm here, or we got sent here, and I have to learn and evolve. And it's like,
yeah,
it's
none of that's true.
It's like this puritanical religious kind of, you're bad, so you're on earth, you know. So I was, when I read that from you, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Did you actually hear that? You got that message?
Yes, I actually heard it and remembered it. Towards the end of my near-death experience, there's not really a good English word for it, but for lack of a better word, I was merging through the energy field of Source in an awakening process. Mm. And during that process, I saw the creation of the universe through Source's eyes.
Mm.
And I remembered, I remembered doing it as Source. And I saw and remembered that the purpose of creating the entire physical universe was just so that Source could interact with itself in a believable way. It's an individual alone. I don't know why it's alone, but the only way it could interact would be with itself. But, you know, when you talk to yourself,
right,
it doesn't really feel like you're, you know, doing anything very interesting. So it created this physical matter universe and then put its own self-awareness inside everything in the universe in the form that we call soul, just so that it could interact and have new experiences that it could imagine but could not have directly as an energetic being. And it gave all the soul parts of itself that are invested in physical matter amnesia as to our true nature, so that it would seem believable.
Is that why we have that? Okay, so it would seem believable. Well, it does seem believable.
And so that we would have genuine reactions, genuine emotional reactions. Because if we knew what was going on and knew it wasn't real, it might color how we respond and how we react and how we feel.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That I wonder how that happened. Do you feel that more people will come to know this and live this, and so that there is that freeing up to just express and be expressed from the soul level?
I got two different items of information on that while I was in the afterlife. One is that it doesn't matter whether we do or not. I mean, we're not here to be more spiritual. We're not here to try to act perfect. We're not here to try to act the same way we do in the afterlife. We're here to experience what a human's
just
life
experience.
Is like.
Yeah. Just to
the
experience
other part
whatever
of that
experience.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. And the other part of that, I saw in the future that Earth's population is greatly diminished in numbers, and that the people who are left will be the ones who are more likely to act from soul nature.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard that as well.
And be more aware.
That'll be, And it's happening naturally, just like, I don't know if you were on the air, but or on the line, but
one caller that called in, and she's like, I was going down this route, and then I thought, no, I don't need to buy this, and I can self-express or play my guitar. I'm going to school. You know, she kind of went into the soul, you know, the whole more into that. So maybe there will be those kind of little awakenings or awarenesses that just happen naturally, I think, you know, as
yes.
more the soul comes through.
And I think as more people like you and I and many, many others bring the truth to people, they'll hear it and recognize it and remember who they really are. And that helps with our behavior.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that the time is right for that, more the truth. You know, because even I always say the common sense is there when you look at the esoteric or the spiritual and metaphysical, because why would there be that? Why would it's just common sense? You're just here to be you. You know, why would you like who would throw you here because you did something wrong? You know what I'm saying? Where does that come from? Or you're at the
school.
Well,
I asked
know.
That question myself while I was in
did
the afterlife, and I saw. And I was angry. I mean, when I found out the truth, what I, you know, now recognize as the truth about life and why we're here and who we really are, I was angry that I had been taught all this religious material while I was on Earth.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, didn't they trust me with the truth? You know, why wouldn't they just tell me the truth?
And I
didn't realize they didn't know the truth. So in response to my wonder, you know, my anger,
I see what you're saying.
My anger and wondering, you
know,
why didn't they just tell me the truth? I saw this entire documentary of the creation of the earth, the development of humans, the development of all human religions, the future, and then the destruction of earth. And that whole documentary was aimed at showing me that religions are based primarily on human nature, and humans have built-in character traits of suspicion, fear, superstition, you know, paranoia.
Yeah. All that brain stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, not taking responsibility for their own actions and trying to earn love. And so all those things have come into our religions kind of naturally.
From a human.
Yes,
that makes sense. So more from the human interpretation or experience, instead of you know what I'm hearing you say, in a sense, instead of direct connection to source, to experience it, there becomes these interpretations through the human aspect,
yes.
It sounds like.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember years ago, and I won't say the person's name, but they were on some television show, because I had a couple clients call me, and they said, oh, we saw this show, and they said, this is the strangest thing, and this goes against what you said, that we die, and we go into this classroom, and the woman actually said, yeah, there's, because the people in the audience are asking, they said, well, there's desks, and she says, yeah, you're sitting in a desk, and you're talking over what your mission and your you know, learning lesson is going to be. And when my clients asked me that, we were talking, and I said, who's sitting in the desk? And they go, what do you mean? I go, well, you don't have a body. How do you sit in a desk when you don't have a body? I go, just use common sense. Where is the class? There's desk in the...
I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's one of the comments I get all the time was, you know, people, well, our religions have taught us to believe that we're just like human beings in the afterlife. And, you know, nobody stops to think, well, if it's not physical matter, how can we be like humans? And if we're not on the physical plane, how can we have weight and matter? You know, you're not taught to question religion. You're taught to swallow it whole.
Right. Right. Exactly. I'm glad, okay, we've got a question in the chat. Is everyone supposed to remember? Let's see, the journey we've taken, does everybody remember? That's a good question.
It is a good question.
Queen is
and
saying, what a wonderful
no.
journey you've taken. Okay. No, okay.
And it just kind of by process happens that the more times we incarnate into a specific species like humans, the more we are able to remember who we really are and things from other lives from being in humans. And we awaken a little bit more. And the closer we get to having completed all of our incarnations, the more likely we are to remember the truth and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Nancy, what do you usually say to people? Because I'm sure in your talks and book signing, and I just want to let people know what we're talking about, answers from the afterlife. What do you, because there is a whole movement of, oh, the learning lesson, and I got to, you know, this and that, or last lifetime I was, you know, rich, so now I'm poor, you know, or I can't, you know, this thing. I mean, you must get that not only question, but that viewpoint coming at you, and yet you've had this experience where you got different information.
Yes, I get that a lot. In fact, there's a, my latest book, Answers from the Afterlife, is in question and answer format because those were the questions I got from my readers and YouTube viewers. And those were the answers that I gave them. And there is a whole section in there on in the reincarnation chapter on karma. And then there's another section in, I don't remember which chapter, on the whole idea of, you know, aren't we here to learn? Aren't we here to learn how to love? Aren't we here to learn, you know, this, that, or the other thing? So I've got those answers all in there. And what I tell people who bring that up is, the only thing I can tell them, which is, that's not what I learned in the afterlife. That's not what I lived there. You know, I was told repeatedly and shown that our only purpose is to experience, but we do, we choose what we're going to experience to a certain extent. For example, I was told that there were three, for lack of a better term, purposes to life. The most prevalent one is when we as a soul in the afterlife decide we want to study a particular aspect of a certain creature, let's say humans, and we want to study something that's unique to human nature. So let's take the example of greed. So we decide we're going to incarnate into humans over and over again to study the concept of greed. And we will incarnate into different bodies over time so that we can see greed as the greedy person, as the victim of greed, as the mother of greed, as the father of greed, of the spouse of greed, of the employer of greed, you know. So we get a 360-degree perspective on whatever it is that we're interested in learning about. And only those instances in that life really go to our purpose, and everything else is just gravy.
Okay.
Or it's supposed to be enjoyed. The second thing that we might do is if we are close to ending our incarnation cycle, we may decide to come into physical matter, say into human life, to be a support person for somebody that we love in the afterlife. And our only purpose will be to be that person's mother or to be that person's friend or to be that person's counselor or whatever role that we find ourselves in with that person, and we're just there for support, and we're not getting anything out of that lifetime ourselves other than how much we love the person we're there to support, that we are willing to come into this kind of a rough and tumble, hard living situation to show our love. And then the third type or purpose that we might have in coming into human life is just to be there as a like a catalyst or as a person to do one thing in somebody else's life that then changes their life. For example, you might decide, you know, you're going to incarnate with somebody that you love in the afterlife and they're going to be, oh, a bad boy, you know, use drugs, and, you know, drink and do all kinds of crazy things. And then they meet you and you say something or do something that completely changes their thinking around, and he decides he's going to go to medical school and start saving people. So it's that that kind of a catalyst in somebody's life, a life-changing one.
Now, could that catalyst do that for, or any of these, the study or the support or the catalyst, is it mainly one person or can it be for groups of people as well?
It can be anything. Yeah, it can be. groups.
It can be group. Okay. That kind of makes sense. I love that. Now, one thing you do talk about, and I think it's so, you know, kind of timely to where we are at, is that whole idea of end of the world or end of the world as we know it, that you received information, you know, or end of the world or end of humanity as we know it, and that there would be some events that cause that catalyst, that catalytic change in a lot of ways.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw, like I say, the future of Earth, and unfortunately, I knew I wasn't coming back here, so I didn't care, so I didn't remember that much.
Oh,
but what
okay.
I did see...
You weren't coming back, but then you did come back.
Yeah, if I'd known I was coming back, I would have remembered more, or tried to remember more. But what I did see is a lot of what's already happened, because my big NDE, this one we're talking about, was in 1994, and a lot of years have passed since then, and some of the things I saw have happened. But what I saw when I saw that whole documentary of Earth's life was that Earth's life cycle is divided into three parts. They were called epochs, or they were actually pronounced epochs. That was one of the only words I heard in the afterlife. There were very few, and they said the word epoch because I hadn't heard that before. And the first one was when the dinosaurs were alive, and there were humans at that time as well. I don't remember anything about it other than I saw there were cities like Atlantis, not Atlantis itself, but cities like Atlantis, and it was a very organized and sophisticated civilization, primitive by current day standards, but for that time period, it was you know, pretty sophisticated. And then all those creatures and those humans died off because of changes in the terraforming of the Earth. And then the second epoch started, and that's what we're in now. And then I saw that coming up soon, now soon in afterlife time could be hundreds or thousands or millions of years, but I saw there's a third epoch. And during that time period, that will precede the end of the world as we know it. And the transition into that time period included huge floods, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, all kinds of physical changes in the earth, as well as physical changes in germs so that they mutate from one species to the human species. And then bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics. And so all of these things, these natural disasters and these diseases, will eventually start wiping out large parts of human population, is what I saw. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to caution you and your listeners that there's no set future. The physical universe is being... it's manifested moment by moment. So anything that a near-death experiencer sees about the future while they're in the afterlife is just what looked to be on track at that time. And it can all change. Mm. And, in fact, it has all changed. Mm-hmm. And when I saw my own future, I decided I was going to change parts of it, and I did.
Yeah. You would like this as an attorney. I always call this... mitigating consciousness, that we can mitigate how extreme the events are. That I do believe there'll be events, obviously, and there has been, but we could mitigate by, you know, how we're living or what we're doing. And I think a lot of it is just coming from soul expression, soul experience, understanding that and living that out, that, you know, it doesn't have to be as extreme. That's my understanding, that we can make it, you know.
And I'm glad you're telling
what,
people that.
Yeah, because I think there's some people that have kind of just, you know, fait accompli. It's this way, and, you know, they've got the bomb shelters or whatever, they're done. You know, it's like that's what's happening. Now, did Source give you any, like, insight into, and it kind of along the lines of what we're talking about, you said earlier, the intention and attention, or what we put our intention, what we intend and what we put our attention on. And as far as co-creating or keeping something going.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's my next book. It's titled We Are Creators, Powerful Far Beyond the Law of Attraction. I apparently given another mission while I was in the afterlife, although I didn't recognize it at the time. But there were three different times while I was there. And see, I lived there. You know, I went through different stages of afterlife, just like we go through different stages of human life, you know, from child to adult to middle age to old age. I went through stages of life in the afterlife. And in three of those stages, I was given information about manifesting. And that is the word that was used. It was one of the few English words that I heard there. And what manifesting is creating moment to moment what humans experience as physical reality. We do it alone. We do it with others. We do it while we're in the afterlife. Part of us stays in the afterlife while part of us comes into a human as its soul. So the part of us that's still in the afterlife is manifesting moment to moment the life of the part of us that's in the body. The part of us that's in the body is also manifesting moment to moment, alone and in concert with others, so that we are constantly co-creating physical reality as we go along. And that's why it's so important, you know, what you're talking about with the mitigating consciousness, and it's so important to understand that you can change what you manifest by taking conscious control of it. And I was given, like I say, three times I was given this, you know, big bolus of knowings about manifesting. And I was also told that humans had a completely off-kilter view of what it meant, or off-kilter understanding. And I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, at the time I got that information, I didn't know what they were referring to, because I'd never read any books on the law of attraction. I'd never even heard of it. But years later, when I started reading Law of Attraction books, I went, oh, this is what I was supposed to be, you know, telling people, you know, that the Law of Attraction is a human misunderstanding
exactly. So
of manifesting.
Yes. I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Obviously, you've got some great, I can't wait till your other book comes out. Yeah, it's so off. It's so wrong. It's, yes, misunderstanding, misconstrued, misinterpreted. Yes. So tell us, share more. Tamara in the chat, awesome, being no, because I mean, I always speak of this. I hate that law of attraction. I'm like, okay, serves its purpose, I suppose, but it is a human made up misinterpretation. You know,
well,
even if you look at the word manifest, it just brings to bring into physical form or physical reality. It comes from the French and like manifest. So again, common sense there. Can you share a little bit more of what you received? Just a little, I know you're going to do a book on it, but just a little snippet of how it's a misinterpretation or understanding, and also on manifesting. Yes, I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
Well, the law of attraction, like our religions, is based on the concept that we are separate from our creator. And some of the earlier books really, I think, were closer to describing manifesting than like the Abraham Hicks books and the Secret. Some of those books literally state, we are all one. We are part of our creator.
Yeah.
You know, they have little snippets of the truth in there, but apparently they don't believe it themselves, because they go off into this explanation of the law of attraction, which makes it sound like you ask either source or the universe for something.
Yeah.
And if you think on it hard enough, or do pictures on a, you know, vision board, or, you know, you do all these various physical things, you'll get the thing, like you're ordering from a eBay in the sky. And it
and
doesn't
that's
look
what they
like
say.
That.
Put your order in, right? They say
yes,
that.
Yes,
put your
yes.
order in.
And, you know, it makes perfect sense to humans. It really does. And there are tools within the law of attraction that you can use, I think. But the problem that I have with that whole theory is that it's putting the power out there somewhere. And the
yeah.
power is inside. We are the power. We have the power to manifest what we want.
Now, Nancy, do you think that this comes, and you say human, as we're talking, I'm just kind of a little epiphany. Do you think this also is coming because of religion has taught us on a societal or mainstream level that it's always outside? You know, you pray to somebody else, you ask for forgiveness. You know, it's either a person there, the guru, the teacher. You got to ask, you got to do this or that, or you got to pray outside yourself. Or put your
yes.
order in, or what do you want? Do you think that that's kind of like an undertone to things like the Abraham Hicks, that focus of that understanding? Do you think it's coming through those filters of more religion?
Yes, and I think particularly the Abraham Hicks model is a form of prayer. And I think the secret
Ooh.
Model, I think the secret model is the secular version of prayer. Instead of praying to a God, you're praying to the universe.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's
supplicant.
So true. That is so true.
And like I say, it's human nature. It's not spiritual nature. Those books are all based on a human way of looking at life. And humans mm-hmm. don't have any ability whatsoever to create.
I love that. It's aligning, yeah, and recognizing you are that. Tamara in the chat is saying makes so much sense. Yes, it does. Yeah. See, I always say it's common sense. I mean, when you really break it down, there is a sense of, to me, a practicality, a little practicalness in the woo-woo. You know, and so much of what you're saying seems, yes, you know, other dimensional, otherworldly, you know, coming into that. But when you apply it, it does make perfect sense.
Yes, but, you know, I'm sure you've had the experience yourself that it's hard to change your perspective. And things only make sense mm-hmm. after you change your perspective.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Oh,
and, you know,
God,
getting your head turned
so
around to another way of looking at things is tough work.
Yeah, it is. And then once you change your perspective, it's like, God, why didn't I know that or see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember, yeah, in 93 I learned, of course, the visioning book. We did visioning books in this class that I did. It's Jung Psychology, Spiritual Healing. But you get in a meditative state and, you know, you kind of just do things from that. But then years later, I realized exactly what you're saying. I'm thinking, but I'm creating still from the ego personality, the human. Forget that. The higher self or whatever, the source aspect, knows everything of what I want and need. So who am I doing the board for? You know, why am I doing that? You know, it kind of hit me.
Yeah, well, there's some value in that because a lot of the tools that the law of attraction and other theories like that have help you focus your attention
yes.
and intention, which
intention,
is what you need
yeah.
to manifest.
Absolutely, yeah. Put your, you know, attention on your intention. Yeah, I think if they're used as focusing tools, they're great. But as you know, if you're knowing that it's your energy that you're harnessing, that you are, you know, a part of source energies, then that's where the juice is, but the rest,
yes.
yeah, I agree, as a focusing tool. Now, when is your, I love this. So this we've been talking about so people know, you know, what we've been talking about here. We're talking with Nancy Dannison. Is that Dannison?
Dannison.
Dannison.
D-A-N-I-S-O-N.
Answers from the afterlife. And Nancy, what so people have, and we'll put it in the chat, what's the best website to connect with you?
Backwardsbooks.com. That's my website. wardsbooks.com.
Okay. And it's Answers from the Afterlife. Ah, love it. Love it, love it, love it. Can't wait to come out with your other one as well. That's going to come back and share with us.
Would it be possible for me to call you and talk over some of the things I'm writing in that book? It helps me focus to talk to
you. Oh, absolutely.
And you seem to understand it so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just email a producer, awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, and she'll give you the contact info, and we'll chat. I'd love to talk further with you. It'd be great.
Okay,
so
great.
Much what you're saying. Let's see. Yes, Michelle, talk to her more about this. Yes, I will. That's what they're saying in the chat. Oh, Nancy, this has been wonderful. You have an open door. Come back if you have an idea, you receive some downloads, or you just want to share more, please don't hesitate to contact. And I just love what you're sharing and doing, how you're expressing. I just think it's so amazing and very insightful and very inspiring. So I thank you so much for being here on Awakening.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having this conversation with me. I enjoyed it.
Me too. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. Woo! What a great being and a great book. Of course, that was Nancy Dannenson, and the book is Answers from the Afterlife. And, okay, you in the chat that know me, those that you listen, said a lot of things that I've been saying, so I love it. And see, the new information, the advanced information, is starting to get out now, and it's about freeing up. We're not here for learning lessons, heavy. We learn naturally, so I love it. I actually feel pretty darn inspired and feel really great to have connected with all of you, whether you're in the chat or you called in or you're listening in or you're listening later by the archives. I just want to thank you for co-creating this wonderful time for us all to get together and share. And I also thank all of you that take the time to email topic and guest suggestions and email questions as well. And I also want to thank those of you that have been leaving appreciation feedback. I'm going to have to go to iTunes now and check it out. All right, everyone. Like I said, I do have a workshop coming up this Saturday, teleworkshop, so you can be anywhere. It's going to be amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm going to have a great time and uproot some stuff and do some meditations. And that will be for the lunar and solar, the total solar eclipse, and do work with the energies. It's all about working with the energy, being in flow with the energy, aligning individually to that source energies that we are. And so if you have any interest in that, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. You can Facebook me, Insta, Twitter, whatever. Let's keep in contact. And also for more information, you can go to soulplayground.life as well. All right, everyone. I love you so much. And it's been a really great program. And I hope to see you next week. We'll be right back here. Until then, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.